Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Next, our sermon this Sunday is the gospel lesson appointed for this week from Matthew chapter 21. Jesus is speaking, and he asks the Pharisees this question. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." This is the gospel of our Lord. In this month's edition of our Wells Forward in Christ magazine, it'll be available to you next Sunday, God willing. Hasn't come in the mail yet. Unless you're a pastor, then you get an early edition. There's a couple of stories in there about parables and the uses of parables in teaching and preaching. And when we talk about parables, it's a very familiar way for us to learn the truths about God, because it's the way Jesus, the Son of God, chose to communicate his truth to us, the truth of God's word. Probably very easy for you if I would start to ask you some questions about very familiar parables to fill in the blanks. For example, the parable of the sower and the seed. You know in that parable that the seed that's scattered is a picture of the word of God. And the different types of ground it falls on describe different people. The hard path, where the birds snatch it away, the shallow soil, the weedy soil, or the good soil. You know the parable of the Good Samaritan. And if I asked you to name the two religious leaders that passed by when they saw the man injured on the side of the road, you would probably know that it was the priest and the Levite, right? And the Samaritans and the Jews couldn't stand each other. And so Jesus is teaching those people and teaching us, who is our neighbor? Anybody that has need. We know the parables. The parables are familiar even to our secular world, because we have Good Samaritan laws and people have heard about a prodigal and know what that means. Sometimes when Jesus was teaching his disciples with the parables, they would ask him privately, "Lord, could you explain this to us?" Because Jesus also used those parables to do something else for the people who are rejecting him. Those parables were going to harden them in their unbelief. They were going to cement them in their rejection of God's word. And that's what the Old Testament prophesied. In the book of Isaiah, we hear the people would be ever seeing and ever hearing, but never understanding. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus is using a parable, and it's nearing the end of his earthly life. And that's an interesting thing about these parables, is in the beginning, as Jesus used them, there was a lot of explanation that went along with them. These last ones that he spoke, really simple to understand. In Matthew 21, Jesus is in his last days of his earthly life. He's ridden to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and the people shouted, "Hosanna," a fulfillment of prophecy. He got to the temple and he cleared out the money changers, turned over their tables, cleansed it. Earlier in this chapter, the Pharisees challenged him, "Who gives you the authority? What right do you have to do this?" And then Jesus turned the tables on them by saying, "Well, what about John the Baptist? Was he from God or was he from men?" And the Pharisees were silent. They were afraid to answer that question. Some of the last teaching that Jesus gives to these Pharisees, to disciples, and to us, he brings a really simple parable. But in this simple parable, the two sons, we also find very profound truth. So Jesus has the attention of the religious leaders, the Pharisees of his day. They've challenged and questioned his authorities, and now he gives them an opportunity to answer a question. What do you think? Maybe the Pharisees were thinking to themselves, okay, good, at last, we're going to be able to share with Jesus all that we know about the Bible, and we're going to put him in his place. Jesus said, what do you think? And he gives this scenario. Man had two sons. The first son initially said no, then he changed or repented and went and worked. The second son said, yes, I will go, but never followed through. Didn't have to be a Pharisee. You did not have to be a religious scribe or some scholar. You could be the smallest child and you would be able to answer Jesus' question. Which of the two did what the father wanted? First son. Very obvious. Come on, Jesus, give us a hard one. Give us something that's going to challenge us. And then Jesus got to some profound truth with those Pharisees, because he applied it for them. He said, the tax collectors and the sinners, prostitutes, they're entering the kingdom of God before you. They were representative of that first son. They're the people who were Israelites, but they heard the word of God and they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to continue our tax collecting ways and our prostitute ways, our sinning ways. We're going to do what we want to do. But then they heard John the Baptist. And John's Baptist was very direct to them, repent. And they changed. They changed because the Holy Spirit worked through that message of the law to crush their selfishness, crush their sinful pride. And then they listened. They listened when John the Baptist said, look at the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. You tax collector, you prostitute, he takes your sin away. And they followed the Lord. They entered the kingdom of heaven. In many ways, those Pharisees were that second son. Yes, Lord, we're going to follow your word. Yes, Lord, we're doing all that you would have us do. But they completely missed it. They were doing their own thing. They weren't believing in the one the Lord had sent. They did not listen to John the Baptist when he called them to repentance. They continued to resist and reject. Jesus didn't try to defend himself. He just exposed what they had done. They'd rejected the message of the gospel. They rejected bringing it from John. So the truth in this parable is that Jesus was there with the very people that were going to put him to death. The very people who just a couple of days later would crucify him, and here Jesus is reaching out to them, putting into practice what the Lord said through the prophet Ezekiel. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Repent and live. It's what Jesus wants for the first son and the second son, for all of us. He wants people to recognize their sin, turn in faith to Christ, and he provides the power to do that, his almighty word. John the Baptist proclaimed it with clear teaching of sin and grace, and it still sounds forth today. Looking and listening at a very simple parable allows us to apply that to ourselves, to apply those profound truths to our own heart and our own life. It allows us to put into practice what the Apostle Paul said in his lesson to the Corinthians, to test ourselves and examine ourselves. Where do you fit? A lot of times, like that first son, we do our own thing. And God calls us to repentance. God changes us. Sometimes, like that second son, we say all the right things, but we just don't follow through. Truth in this parable is we have a Savior who reaches out to us to bring us to repentance. And we have a Savior who comforts us with the forgiveness of our sins, no matter where we've fallen in this parable. Simple parable, very profound truth, very applicable truth for all Christians of all time. Problem is, sometimes we get distracted from the very simple and obvious, even when it's profound. When I prepare a sermon, oftentimes I'll use the sermon text in some visits that I have leading up to that Sunday sermon. And the idea for me is to take this section of scripture and start to think it through and apply it to that visit and that situation, and then hear from people. Sometimes you get some sermon illustrations as well. Got one a couple of weeks ago, not in the way I was thinking. Went to do a visit, and I was going to use these words, this very simple parable, right? It's easy to answer. What do you think? Okay, Jesus, yeah, I get it. And we can apply that to our own life. And I was in a home doing this a devotion with an older gentleman and his daughter, and then a grandchild, great-grandchild. And we were around the Word of God, and all of a sudden, there's that child, the baby, as I call him. And the baby started doing what babies do. And it was amazing how quickly three adults who were supposed to be zeroed in the Word of God were just staring at the baby. And pretty soon I realized I'd completely lost my whole train of thought. Finally just said, let's pray. And we ended the devotion and looked at the baby. Why does that happen? Babies are babies. They're always going to do that kind of stuff. But in other areas of our life, or can we be so focused in on the Word of God and how it applies to our life and then completely lose it? Be completely distracted from these simple parables with profound truth. We can just completely lose our focus on the Word of God. It happens so frequently in our lives in so many different ways. Go out into the world. Live in this world. There are so many things that are calling for our attention. We find ourselves chasing the baby. Jesus' question really grounds us. What do you think? What do you think? See, the Lord does that with his people. Whether it was for the Pharisees, for the disciples, or for us, he called, what do you think about this? How does this word apply to your life? And his simple story suddenly becomes very profound, because when Jesus asks me that question, he knows the answer. He knows what we think about his word. And how sometimes we think, I know it pretty well. I don't need to learn anymore. He knows how we act. He knows how we talk. He wants us to see where we fit. He wants us to see that so we confess before him, as we did at the beginning of our service, our unworthiness. He wants us to see it so that we can look at him differently. We can look at him as our Savior. We see all that he did for us. We can follow him the rest of Holy Week into that upper room with his disciples, where he showed them love and taught about love and prayed for us. Follow him on Good Friday and hear his words of forgiveness, his words of completion. And we can join the ladies and disciples at the empty tomb and know that he's alive. Know that our sins have been forgiven. Jesus wants us to think about those things. And so he lovingly keeps bringing us back there through these simple parables that inject us into this spiritual situation, this profound truth about our God and our relationship to him. Jesus uses those things to help us grow in our faith. 2 weeks from today, for the past 6 months or so, I guess we started back in April, the first part of April, when we stopped our services and school shut down. We were cleared out, so we were able to do work in here and get this refresh done. We spent a lot of time and effort in that, a lot of offerings that have gone to support that work, and it's good for us to stop and say, thank you, Lord, for the gift of this place, where we can gather together around your word, when we can hear from you and think about your word and be fed by you. It is right and good for us to do that. But after we have that rededication of our sanctuary, then we're going to move on. We're going to move on to the third part of our theme of how it's good to be here, good to be around God's word. We're going to be focusing on spiritual renewal. As we get towards the end of this calendar year, we're getting ready for that, and going into 2021, this could be our focus, being renewed, power of the gospel. So here are some things that are going to be coming your way, things that you can think about. One thing we want to know, we want to know what you do to grow in your faith. What do you do that really works, that just fills the need you have to be close to your Savior? We want you to share that, because you might have a really good resource that somebody else can use. We also want to know what you need. Where are you struggling? In your personal life, in your family life, in your workplace, what do you need? What resources can we provide? Then we're going to take and prepare a spiritual growth packet for all the members of our congregation, tailored to your situation as best as we know it. Wherever you're at in life, print resources, electronic resources, small group resources, whatever it might be, to help God's people grow and be encouraged to put into practice, to try some things. Try reading the parables in the first 3 months of 2021. Read them like you've never read them before. You've never heard the story of the prodigal son or the good Samaritan or the two sons. What do you think about it? We want you to serve. So much of the last year has been focused on serving in our gifts of financial stewardship to support this refresh project, to continue to support our ministry as attendance has been down and school enrollment's a little bit lower. We want to shift that using your resources of time and your talents. Use God's word in a new way in your congregational life, in your home life, or at work. Serve in a way you never have before. Get the phone, I'll give you his number if you want it. Call Principal Herman and say, what do you need help with in our school? We'll get you plugged in. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We get into 2021, it's going to be our theme, it's going to be our culture. It's not new, it's not novel, it's not temporary. It's what God's people have always been encouraged to do, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to do it until the Lord shows up again on Judgment Day or when he calls us home to heaven, whatever comes first. It's a part of our life as a child of God. It's pure joy. The distractions, they'll still come. Another challenge that we sometimes face is how familiar we are with the gospel. Something we've heard throughout our life, if we grew up in the church, from our mother's arms, right from infancy, maybe we've known the Holy Scriptures that make us wise for salvation. Even when we've strayed and we lived in ways that are clearly contrary to God's word, and we remember those in our life, we're still in that grace. And God is calling us to repentance. And so we understand and believe every time we gather around the word, God is going to bring us the same message. Your sins are forgiven. You're at peace with God. In so many ways, it's a blessing to be familiar with that because we know where to go when we're struggling with sin. But maybe that familiarity causes us to miss just how amazing it is. I heard a story this week about one of our Wells teachers in a school near Milwaukee, and she teaches middle school and has a brand new student in their school. Never been in church before, never been in a Christian school. And there was some assignment in Word of God or writing about the gospel. And this new student, who had never heard the gospel before, wrote on the assignment, "I never knew somebody could love me that much." I never knew somebody could love me that much. He's talking about Jesus. Nobody loves that much. But Jesus did, and Jesus does. That's what brings renewal, knowing that Jesus loves us that much. knowing that Jesus died for us, knowing that Jesus continues to call to us, knowing that Jesus has our inheritance ready and will deliver us safely there, and will do everything to bring us to that goal. He loves us that much. I don't know if in the next year Pastor Sean and I are going to be able to preach the gospel to you in some way that you've never heard before. No, if we're going to find an illustration that just clicks with you and you say, man, that really did it for me. Maybe it'll be the same old story. It will be. About a God who loves us so much. About a God who's with us always and brings us home to heaven. That's how we grow. By God's grace, that's what we get to hear. And our prayer today and always is that God would open our ears, think about it, to apply this profound truth to our life, and to know that while we're doing those things, He's at work. He's at work in our heart and in our life through His Word, just as He's always been. May God grant that we see that, rejoice in it, and use that Word to be renewed, to share the hope that we have with others. Amen.